punching a hole through the journal in his pocket, right through the meat beyond. Blood sprays. Donnelly screams. Malakoff stumbles back from the impact, somehow on his feet long enough to grab the girl's hand. She pulls him through the door as Callie opens fire again, a storm of bullets riddling the train's flanks, smashing windows to splinters. Donnelly appears in a window, firing blind, forcing Callie back into cover. But as soon as the silverback clicks dry, Callie's out, sprinting along the platform toward the now-departing train. Donnelly reloads, fires again, shaking grip covered in Malakoff's blood, shots flying wide. For all her daddy's training, the old man obviously never saw a need to put a pistol in his baby girl's hand. And, as the doors slide closed and the train's long silver bulk slips from the station, Callie puts three shots through a window in the rearmost car and dives elbows first through the glass, tumbling up into a neat crouch inside it without skipping a beat. Yeah, this woman is that kind of good. Donnelly turns to Malakoff, the kid's on his back, lips painted with blood, bright red leaking from his hip and gut, bubbling pink froth seeping from the wound in his chest. Donnelly kneels beside him, unclasps his suit's seals, drags off the helmet. She spies the journal he got shot for in his breast pocket, a neat hole punched through its pages, and a little baggie of dust still pressed inside. White powder mixed with bright red. Donnelly tugs the book loose, hurls it into a corner. She grabs Malakoff's hands, pressing them to the worst of the three wounds, panic in her eyes. Put pressure on it! Malakoff coughs red, agony bubbling on his lips. Her eyes are filling with tears.
Nick, hold on! You fucking hear me?
Told you, he gasps.
What?
Donnelly glances up at the sound of the auto doors hissing, realizes Callie's coming. She crawls to the rear door of her car and waits for it to cycle open, looking down at the coupling between the cars and trying to figure out how to detach them. A dozen shots perforate the metal in front of her, shower her with broken glass as she scrambles back into cover. No, you don't, Callie calls. No magic tricks this time. Stalking toward Donnelly, the woman drags off her helmet, slings it away.
Out of bullets, little girl.
Callie tosses her rifle aside with near contempt, draws her combat knife and a pistol from her belt, another from her boot, casting them all off before kicking open the door to Donnelly's sanctuary and stepping inside.
Well, isn't this a treat? Callie says.
Donnelly rises from her cover, stands between Callie and the dying Malakoff, hands in fists.
I've been hoping we'd get a moment alone, Callie says. To talk.
You toss your guns away? Donnelly looks the woman up and down, shakes her head.
Honestly, for the sake of a little melodrama, what are you, an idiot?
No, Callie smiles.
I'm just better than you.
She moves.
Jesus, she moves so quickly the cameras have trouble tracking her. Those reflex augmentations must be clocked to the red line, chums.
Her fists blur, striking at Donnelly's head, once, twice, three times. The girl can barely block, staggering back and fending off the attacks with her forearms, muscle memory dragging her into a defensive stance as Callie closes. The woman strikes, savage and quick. A gauntleted fist lands in Donnelly's solar plexus, crumpling the instrumentation on her suit. And as she doubles over, Callie's knee crashes into her helmet and shatters the safety visor. The girl flies back, spine hyperextended as she hits the deck, sliding through the growing puddle of Malakoff's blood and crashing to rest against the far wall. Callie bounces up and down on her toes, tilting her head until her vertebrae pop.
Get up, little girl, she says. We've only just started.
Donnelly is already springing to her feet, her suit's weight compensated for by the lower gravity in Heimdall's hub. She snaps the release clasps at her neck, drags her shattered helmet off, slinging it at Callie. She's not surprised to see the woman smash it aside with a casual backhand.
Get your suit off. Donnelly blinks. Are you coming on to me?
I want your best, Callie grins. I went to your habitat, saw your trophies, black belts, Krav Maga, Jeet Kune Do, Muay Thai. Impressive.
You went into my room? That's a little creepy, Auntie, don't you think?
Know your enemy as you know yourself, Callie says, and you will not be imperiled in 100 battles.
Donnelly stops still at that, like someone just slugged her in the gut.
Sun Tzu, she breathes. And at last, all the jibes, the quick talk and the subterfuge melt away, and Donnelly finally understands who she's facing. A woman born to this, bred for it. A woman who, after a few questionable choices and 10 or so more years of hard training, Donnelly could find herself staring at in the mirror. The girl looks around her, takes in where she's standing.
Okay, she says. All right.
She uncouples the buckles on her enviro suit, sloughs it away from her shoulders. She's still wearing those rumpled WUC coveralls underneath, ill-fitting, but loose enough to allow full freedom of movement. She raises her fists.
You killed my Peter, Callie says.
You killed my father, Donnelly replies.
If you think that makes us anything close to even.
Donnelly shakes her head.
Not by a long shot, bitch.
The girl steps forward, knees bent, hips swiveling, fists speeding like a flung knife toward Callie's throat. Callie blocks, tangles up Donnelly's forearm, strikes back, cold hate boiling in her eyes. And there, in the middle of that speeding train car, the pair begin to dance. Fist, elbow, knee, block, feint, strike, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, breath and sweat and sharp, jarring cries, over and over again. You have to slow down the footage to really appreciate it. Donnelly's pretty damn good. Her form is near perfect. She's young and fit and hard, and she's trained near the Heimdall hub, so she's used to fighting in low grav. She's fired up on adrenaline. The knowledge that Malakoff is bleeding out on the floor behind her, giving her all the impetus she needs. Against some dojo sim or a sparring partner, she'd be mopping the floor. But the fact is, Callie's faster, harder, stronger. She's got all the training Donnelly has and then some. She's got the anger for fuel. She's got the cybernetic augmentations, the reflex enhancements, the tack armor. And worst of all, she's got time. The train speeds on its journey, traversing the station's hub. Donnelly and Callie clash, strikes and counters, dodges and hits, grunts and spit and spatters of blood. Donnelly finds a gap in Callie's guard, splits her lip against her teeth. Callie's knuckles kiss Donnelly's cheek, rip her brow open. The girl locks up the woman's arm, only to have Callie roll over her spine and reverse the hold, flipping the girl onto her back and narrowly missing her head with a heel stomp. All the while, Callie is grinning, all the way to the eye teeth. Both can hear Malakoff's labored, bubbling breath, see the ever-widening slick of blood beneath their feet, smell the copper-thick stink of a gutshot, hanging in the air like fog. On a long enough timeline, Callie wins this game. She's toying with Donnelly, drawing it out, savoring the kill. Donnelly's gasping, bleeding, bruised and bent. She knows how this story ends, knows the period at the end of this sentence. But still she fights. Her hands don't shake. Her breath doesn't rattle. Back against the wall, she doesn't blink. She's got stones, I'll give her that. Callie presses her back, superior footwork forcing her into a corner. And there, hemmed in on all sides, Donnelly makes a mistake. She strikes, a cross kick aimed at Callie's knees, a little too clumsy, a little too slow. The woman counters, sweeps Donnelly off her feet, sends her crashing to the bloody deck. Callie's on her in a heartbeat, fist wrapped in the long blonde braid, yanking the girl's head back and slamming it into the floor, once, twice, three times. She traps Donnelly's arm, bent knee locked around the girl's throat, anchoring herself to a passenger pole. Classic figure four chokehold, flawlessly executed. Even if Donnelly's strong enough to prevent her neck being snapped clean, the blood flow to her brain is constricted by Callie's bent knee. In 30 seconds, it will be lights out. "He was a smart fellow," Callie says, only slightly out of breath. "Sun Tzu, know your enemy. 100 battles. Words to live by. Words to die by." Callie tightens her grip. Donnelly's face is bright red. The girl's free hand is outstretched, reaching toward the journal Malakoff got shot retrieving. The journal she tore loose not 5 minutes ago and hurled into this very corner. The corner she's deliberately allowed herself to be led into? The one she's wrapped up inside? Choking to death in? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this girl is that kind of good. Her fingertips find the broken baggie of dust pressed inside the pages. She clutches the plastic, grips it tight, rips it loose and throws a shimmering white handful. Up. Back. Right into Callie's face. The woman flinches away, eyes closing too late, inhaling a lungful. Callie shakes her head, gasps, shivers all the way to her toes, white powder clinging to the sweat on her skin, seeping into her bloodstream. A hammer blow of grade A tetraphenatrithylamine, almost 10 grams of it, right into her central nervous system. She sighs, stares at the shattered glass and blood all around her, blinks hard, laughs. The grip on Donnelly's throat slackens. The girl kicks loose, scrambling free and backing away into the second car as Callie's back arches. The woman claws her own face, grinning like a lunatic. She flops about on the floor, shaking her head again as she drags herself up onto her hands and knees. "I," she says. "No." Donnelly returns, boots crunching broken glass, Callie's discarded rifle in hand, blonde hair scrawled across her eyes as she speaks. "You know, quoting Sun Tzu while you toss your guns is nice and dramatic, lady, but throwing down with the girl you orphaned? Probably safer to say, screw the drama and just kill the bitch." The rifle barks once. Red and grey spatter the walls. "You might get only one shot, so shoot." "You know who said that?" The rifle clatters to the bloody floor. "Hannah fucking Donnelly. That's who."
Countdown to Hypatia arrival at Heimdall Waypoint. 0 days, 3 hours, 43 minutes. Countdown to Kennedy Assault Fleet arrival at Jump Station Heimdall. 0 days, 2 hours, 11 minutes.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
The train spins on its endless journey around the station's heart, its insides soaked red. Callie lies dead in a corner, eyes open in surprise. Hannah Donnelly is on her knees beside Nick Malakoff, fumbling with the first aid kit torn from Callie's tack armor. She unspools a thick roll of gauze, presses it to the frothing bullet hole in the kid's chest. Malakoff is bled white as a ghost, struggling to breathe, struggling to speak. One hand finds hers, fingers entwine. "Hannah," he sighs. "I'm sorry." Donnelly is pale, her stoic facade crumbling. So much blood. "Nick, don't talk. Just hold on, okay?" Malakoff shakes his head, coughs wet. He knows there's nothing she can do. And even with her tears pattering on his upturned face, the best of him already emptied onto the floor, he doesn't flinch, doesn't blink. Donnelly's wadding bandages, trying to staunch the flow, watching him slip away, one drop, one breath, one second at a time, denying it with everything inside her, clawing and kicking and punching all the way to the end. His end. No, no, no! She drags her knuckles across her eyes, leaves her cheeks red. Please, Nick, please just stay with me. Please! The boy looks up at her, whispering something too faint to hear. Donnelly leans close, holds her breath.
What?
Kiss me.
No,
she says, shaking her head, tears brimming in her eyes.
No, don't you dare ask me that. I'm not kissing you goodbye.
Kiss.
No, stay.
She hangs her head, face crumpling.
Stay.
Welcher, he whispers.
What?
Malikov licks his lips, somehow dragging one more breath into his punctured chest.
Bet you I'd get shot. Remember? Owe me a kiss.
A wet, bloody grin.
Maybe a feel, too.
One last breath, spent to make her smile. She does, laughing, sobbing, pressing her hands to his cheeks and leaning in, close and closer and closest. Crush in her lips to his as the last of his breath escapes as a sigh, soft on her skin. She kisses him. Desperately, longingly, as his hand falls away from hers, and everything he was fades on that last whisper. Eyelids fluttering closed, as if he were drifting off to sleep.
Please,
she breathes. She holds him tight, knuckles white, lips red.
Please stay.
Her Highness's final command. But he's not there to hear it.
Palm Pad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 16:44 hours.
Hannah D. Ella, are you there? Ella, please. It's urgent. Please say something. If you can read this but can't get a message through, give me a signal. Flash the lights or something. Oh, God. Please. Ella!
Palm Pad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Hypatia. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 17:22 hours.
Hypatia. Heimdall, this is Hypatia, do you read? Jump Station Heimdall, this is WUC Science Vessel Hypatia, responding to your hail, do you read?
Hannah D. Oh my God.
No, my name's Katie Grant. Hold on, I'll put the boss on.
Ella, if you're f***ing with me, I swear to God.
Hypatia. This is Captain Sarah Bull of the WUC Science Vessel Hypatia. Please identify yourself.
Hannah. Hannah Donnelly, WUC C9815. I'm Station Commander Charles Donnelly's daughter.
Miss Donnelly. Is Ella Malikova with you?
No. Ella's not answering comms anymore, and her cousin Nick is gone, so it's just me and the chief, and he's been shot.
Say again? Chief Grant has been shot?
He's had first aid, he's okay, but not mobile. Listen. Listen, the Baytech assault fleet is real close now. Hours away, maybe less. We were trying to shut down the wormhole to stop them coming for you, but the BT agents on board stopped us. And the second that drone fleet jumps through, You're dead, and they blow up Heimdall 2 seconds later. So we both have problems.
Hannah, you said Nick Malakoff was gone?
Yes, they shot him. He's dead.
You're certain?
Look, lady, I don't mean to sound like a bitch, but I've got his blood all over my hands from when he died in my arms. So yes, I'm pretty fucking certain.
It's just we're receiving a second transmission from Heimdall right at this very moment. The speaker is identifying himself as Nick Malakoff.
That's not possible. It's a trick. He died. I was there.
Well, here's the thing, Hannah. He's saying exactly the same thing about you.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Our footage takes us back to old familiar ground, the bridge of the Hypatia. This is the place Captain Chow was killed. Byron Zhang and Consuela Nesta were bound and dragged away, and everything changed. It's a very different cast of characters this time. Cira Bol stands at the captain's station, and she looks exhausted. It's only been a couple of weeks since the destruction of the Alexander and the retrieval of Cady Grant, and since then, she's had to cram several hundred extra UTA survivors into an already overcrowded ship, deal with hundreds of petty problems from hydroponics breakdowns to fistfights, and hold together the 2,915 lives aboard the Hypatia with her bare hands. A ragtag collection of Hypatia and Alexander crew members man the bridge, a bunch more standing by the door in quiet conference. There are literally no spare rooms to hold their meetings. Cady Grant's humming tunelessly and has her boots up on a console, one tapping slowly, and Bol looks like this might just be the thing that breaks her. Grant, unaware of her mortal peril, is holding a battered data pad in one hand, frequently consulting it as she stabs at her keyboard with one finger. Her fading pink hair falls around her face, and she's biting her lip, frowning at the console in a way that would cow a lesser system. Do you need more terminal space? Bol can't help herself. Back straight, hands clasped behind her, she stares at her last, best, and only hope, like she's a misbehaving cadet. Huh? Cady doesn't look up. I can give you more monitors at least. Bol waves at the data pad. You seem to be using the smallest screen on the ship.
All good, Cady replies. It's got all my personal stuff on it.
Captain Cira Bol has no idea what, or maybe after all this, we should say who, is actually in it. Grant looks tired and worried, but there's a sliver of energy running through her, visible in the way she taps her soul against the computers in front of her, drums her fingers on the datapad's edge. She never expected to find Heimdall in one piece, let alone her father alive and waiting for her. There's a nervousness to her movements, and she blinks too often. This makes zero sense. See those signatures up there on the main screen? Tell me how those make sense. I can't, Bol replies, though she gazes obediently. That's why you're here. Oh. Grant had actually been speaking to the datapad when she asked that question, but now she turns the conversation to Bol. Yeah, sorry, Captain. So, listen, both these replies are coming in from the station almost simultaneously. They're using the same hacked network set up by the same admin, our initial contact, Ella Malakova. Malakova greenlit both these accounts, and both these names are in her initial transmission. And each one of these users is claiming the other one is dead. Bol paces in closer to the screen, narrows her eyes. Is there any chance it's just one crazy person pretending to be two? Or two crazy people using the same device? Cady shakes her head. Two different idents, two different logins. It's not the same device. And it's not the same person. Syntax, slang, grammar, typing speed. She glances at her datapad, then back to Bol. I mean, I don't think we have time for me to talk to you about the subtle differences in their content, But the fingerprints feel different. A woman breaks away from the huddle by the door, where another makeshift conference has ended. Though there are 868 UTA staff members aboard, thanks to Katie and Aiden's rescue, former First Lieutenant Winifred McCall is in a Hypatia uniform. Her UTA resignation clearly still stands, and the badge on her sleeve indicates she's on Hypatia's security team now. "We don't have time for anything, Captain," she says, closing in on Bol. "If these contacts are right, we're about to watch an assault fleet jump straight through that wormhole to destroy us. Who cares which one we believe? They're both sending the same warning." "We can't believe either of them until we know more," Bol snaps, then reins herself in. "They could both be setting the same trap." Ezra Mason's moving more slowly as he follows McCall across the bridge, coming to a halt behind Katie and reaching down to squeeze her shoulder. He's still in his UTA uniform. "They have your dad, right, Cades?" "That's what they said. He's not the one talking to us, but they have him." She lifts her hand to rest it over his. "Or access to his command codes." "Okay," says Ezra quietly. "Then let's use him. Tell these Nick and Hannah people to ask him something only he would know. Whoever gets the answer right, they're the one we trust."
Radio Transmission BATEC Audit Team, Secure Channel 4824. Participants: Hannah Donnelly, civilian; Isaac Grant, chief engineer. Date: 08-16-75. Timestamp: 17:25 hours.
Hannah D.
Chief, are you there?
Isaac G.
I'm here, Hannah. Are you using Nick's headset?
I'm using... I think her name was Russo. Callie, they called her.
Is everything all right?
Nick died, Chief.
Oh, God.
Nick died. And Ella isn't answering comms, and they found us before we could disable the wormhole, and I can't go back because it's crawling with Lickers and BT Ops. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault, Hannah. Are you okay, at least?
Your daughter, she's called Katie. Did I remember that right?
Yes.
Chief, she's alive. I spoke to her.
Say again?
I spoke to the Hypatia. I tried to warn them. Ella tied my palm pad into her comms channel so I could answer in case something happened to her.
How are they doing? Is Helena there? What's their status?
Their status is... they don't believe me. And they're saying Nick is talking to them. But I know he's not. He's dead. Someone from BT has to be on the palm pad network.
You tell Katie you have me here. I can prove it's me.
I told them they've gone quiet. They're thinking about it, I guess.
We don't have time for them to think about it.
Tell someone who doesn't know, Chief. Nick just died trying to save them.
God, I'm sorry, Hannah. I wish we had time to honor what he did properly. I really do.
No, I know. And I know what he'd want me to do. I'm trying to. I can do this. I refuse to die here. We have to do something about the Kennedy fleet. Even if Hypatia won't listen to us, maybe we can stop them.
If disabling the wormhole is out, then it's gotta be command and...
Chief, you there?
Sorry. It's the pain. I think the dust is wearing off. Worried I'm going to black out.
Are the bandages holding? You're not losing too much blood?
Don't think so.
Okay, then. This isn't my first choice, but if you black out, I'm screwed. Look next to the water bottle I've left for you. You see the spoon there? Lick it.
Excuse me?
I left some traces of dust there. It'll give you another lift. Shouldn't be so much you can't think straight.
I hope you're right. Done.
So you think I can get into command and control? I've got Callie's headset so I can hear their comms. Not sure how many of them died in the reactor, but it'd be a few at least.
Maybe. Their numbers are down. That's going to thin the guards. in command and control, at least. If you can get in there, I can talk you through our defense grid systems. They're not exactly top tier, but there's a chance we can do some damage to this fleet when it arrives.
What about the hostages? We have to get them off Heimdall somehow.
If we can destroy the Kennedy fleet, that buys more time. If not, maybe you can unlock the docking mechanisms on some of the civilian ships. Give them a chance to run. I'm going to try and move while the dust is working. Get to a terminal so I can give you some support. You'll need it with Ella gone.
We don't know she's dead. She might just be cut off for now.
It's a possibility. But I think we have to proceed on the assumption she's not going to be able to help us again.
God!
Anna, I know this is an impossibly stupid question. But are you... Is there anything at all I can do? Your father? Jackson? Now Nick and Ella?
I never killed anyone before. I played it out in my head right before I did it. I wasn't even thinking about the fact that she'd be dead afterward. I just wanted to get to Nick.
You did the right thing, Hannah.
I know, but...
I know.
I want my dad.
Oh, Hannah.
I'm going to save Katie for you. I promise.
I'll be with you all the way. As much as I can. Start heading for CNC, and I'll get to work on a terminal. Find out how many staffers they have inside there. Got any ideas about entry strategies?
Ever heard of a city called Troy?
Is this one of your father's stories?
He's here with me all the way, too. Don't worry, Chief. I have a plan.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Hypatia. Anna Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 18-12 hours.
Hypatia. Hannah, are you in contact with Chief Grant?
Hannah D. I thought you ditched me for good.
Apologies. This is Captain Bull. You must understand we need to be cautious. Either you or Mr. Malakoff is attempting to lure us into danger. One of you is not legitimate, and as far as we know, perhaps neither of you is.
Listen, I've been chased and shot at and watched Nick killed trying to save your lives. So if you don't trust me, I can't help that, Captain Bull. I'll do what I can without you.
Would you be willing to answer a few questions to verify your identity?
Such as?
Are you in contact with Chief Grant?
Yes, by radio.
I have his daughter here with me.
Yes, Katie, she told me her name before.
That's right. If you can have Chief Grant answer a few personal questions put by his daughter, we'll know you're working with him, and we can proceed from there.
Hang on. Oh, he's really excited. Okay, put Katie on.
It's me. Okay, first thing, tell him I love him.
Loves you back. Asking, are you and your mom and your cousin Asha okay?
Tell him I'm fine. Did you tell him we need answers to verify who you are?
He says fire away. Now he's laughing at his own joke because he got shot. Sorry, I had to medicate him again. He's a little...
No, those are just his jokes, especially when he's excited. First question. Ask him what he sent me for my last birthday.
He missed your birthday because comms were down. Birthday before... Okay, maybe he's saying motherboards? Is that possible?
That's right.
He's not very good at presents, is he?
Ask him what he did, my first date with Ezra.
He's laughing again. He says 20 questions. No wonder our dads were friends.
Ask him what's the biggest fight we ever had.
Rehydrated potato salad? Is that the answer, or is he high?
That's the answer.
There's something he wants me to say. I'm passing on what he's saying word for word. Katie, I love you both very much. You're everything to me. I've missed you more than I can say these last months. I thought of you both every single day. It doesn't matter what happens here, but you need to listen to us. This is real. The fleet is coming for you. Stop talking. Find a way to fight for your lives. Do it for me. You still there?
Tell him we love him too. Very much.
Katie, can I ask you something?
Okay.
Your mom's not there, is she? Or your cousin?
Don't say anything to my dad.
I won't, but I'm going to tell him you love him for you. One more time. Never miss a chance to do that. Trust me.
The captain needs to speak to me.
Don't be long. Visitors are on their way. We're doing what we can to slow them down on our end, but...
Roger that. Hypatia out.
Radio transmission, Baytech Audit Team, Secure Channel 413. Participants, Tracy Mantis Lee, Corporal, Computer Systems. DR-782X, Artificial Intelligence Matrix, Assault Fleet Kennedy. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 18:22 hours.
Audit Team FX, this is Kennedy Assault. Respond, over.
Roger, Kennedy. This is Audit Team. We read, over.
Kennedy Assault inbound to Heimdall Station, ETA 24 minutes, 47 seconds. Request status, Heimdall wormhole, over.
Kennedy, Audit Team. We had some internal trouble here. There's some kind of infestation in the reactor sector, but...
Kennedy Assault, repeat. Request status, Heimdall wormhole, over.
Look, I know there's precious little room in your matrices for societal constructs, but you combat drones are rude little bastards, you know that?
Acknowledged. Audit team. Confirm wormhole online, over.
Confirmed. Successful pingback from Carenza side waypoint station. Systems nominal. Green lights across the board. Over.
Audit team will advise Kennedy Assault of any change in status of Heimdall wormhole. Over.
Say please, you little sh...
Audit team will advise Kennedy Assault of any change in status of Heimdall wormhole. Over.
Confirmed, Kennedy. Audit team will advise. Over.
Acknowledged, audit team. Kennedy Assault out.
Radio transmission, Baytech Audit Team, Secure Channel 4824. Participants, Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Isaac Grant, chief engineer. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 18:24 hours.
Hannah, where are you?
I'm en route. I'm chancing it in the hallways. There are so few of them left. I'm just hoping nobody's out and about.
Hannah, the Kennedy fleet is en route, too.
Running as fast as I can, boss.
Hannah, they're close. Minutes away. There's no reason for them to delay going through the wormhole once they arrive. You're the one chance the Hypatia has.
I'm running.
Radio transmission, Baytech Audit Team. Secure Channel 771. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk. Lieutenant, Team Commander. Tracy Mantis Lee, Corporal, Computer Systems. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 18:24 hours.
Top, this is Mantis. You reading me?
Mantis, Cerberus, go.
Everything okay in there? Sweep complete?
Cujo, Poacher, and Nightingale are flatline. There were dozens of the bastards. But the Lanima infestation is dealt with. Reactor area is secure. All 30 stories.
Have you spoken to Callie? Suit Tracker had her with you in the reactor, but now she's situated in Alpha Sector?
I tried her on comms. No reply. She's hunting rabbits, I assume. They slipped the net. but I presume whatever sabotage they were about failed?
Roger that, Cerberus. Mercury confirms Wormhole is still 5x5, and we just got hit up by Assault Fleet Kennedy. Drones are inbound, about 20 ticks away.
Bliss, I want you and DJ ready for system purge. That entire network is to be burned from the inside out, clear? I don't want one byte of data recovered from the wreckage.
Sir, yes, sir.
I'm sending Sensei and Eden to watch over Mercury in engineering while she sets the reactor to overload. Two-Time is prepping the Mao. As soon as Kennedy crosses the threshold, we light out and watch the fireworks.
What about Rapier?
He's MIA, and therefore not our concern. He can die with Heimdall.
Roger that. Prepping system burn now. I'll notify you when Kennedy arrives.
Roger that. Good work, Mantis. Cerberus out.
Dead. Fleur, Callie Russo, Alpha Squad Leader. Kim, Poacher Dan, Alpha Squad. Denny, Cujo Moretti, Alpha Squad. Peter, Romeo Bazarov, Beta Squad Leader. Harry Razorback Raiden, Beta Squad. Stanislaw Taurus Mayer, Beta Squad. I Rain Wong, Beta Squad. Kira Ghost Mazur, Charlie Squad Leader. Lucas Link Castro, Charlie Squad. Sarah Mona Lisa Laurent, Charlie Squad. James Cricket Orr, Charlie Squad. Gabriel Ballpark Moreno, Engineer. Lore Taxman DeGraff, Engineer, Medic. Abby Nightingale O'Neill, Medic. Kai Juggler Saprakin, Ordnance Demolitions. Jihoon Flipside Park, Pilot Demolitions. Hans Ragman Tahirovich, Pilot. Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Footage opens on Mantis and Rolf DJ Moeller hunched over terminals in Heimdall's CNC. The two are working on Falk's system burn, systematically wiping entire sections of the Heimdall's network. They're spread thin, manning the whole of CNC by themselves, but they've worked together for a long time, and, like a pair of experienced dance partners, they send files flying back and forth, working in tandem. Neither moves until a figure outside the security door wraps her knuckles against the plexiglass viewing portal. DJ lifts his head. Unlike the petite Mantis, this guy looks like a bruiser, like his fingers should be too big to type properly, like he'd rather be scratching himself or hunting down prey with a club than handling the kind of sophisticated pro-grabbing an op like this requires. Maybe there's a reason the final burn is his favourite part, just saying. He nods at the door. Think I worked out why Callie's not answering comms. Just outside the portal is a figure in Callie's bloodstained tack armour, face hidden behind her darkened visor. As DJ lumbers over to the door, the figure lifts her hand to tap at the side of her helmet, then draws a finger across her throat, confirming her comms are indeed dead. Callie's rig looks fine to me on the monitor, Mantis says, though she's distracted, still conducting sweeps, trying to work out where Ella's gone, whether the little spider has spun a web in some dark corner to bide her time until she strikes again. Well, she's right here saying they're not, DJ replies, dialing in the security code to open up the door. So how about we go with that? Unless you want to come over here and mime to her that we're going to leave her locked outside. Mantis merely scowls, turning back to her work, and DJ rolls his eyes as the door hisses and releases its seal. It swings open, slowly, and the figure in Callie's armour steps inside. Callie, all your systems look green to me, Mantis says without looking up. Clearly you're not transmitting, but are you receiving anything? The figure steps close to DJ, lashes out with one gauntleted fist right into the big man's larynx. He drops to his knees, gagging, clutching his throat as Mantis spins in her seat to find a VK-85 burst rifle pointed at her face. "I'm sorry," Hannah Donnelly's voice is ice. "Callie couldn't make it." She stands tall in Russo's tack armor, all Kevlar and plasteel. 24 hours ago, she was clad in a Dene Matresco jumpsuit, worth the GDP of a small moon. She shed it for the workmanlike WUC maintenance gear, then covered that with her grubby white envirosuit. And now, born from the ashes, she's a warrior in bloodied black, gun in hand. Mantis stares for a long moment, but she's pro enough to crunch the odds here. Whoever's standing in front of her isn't Callie, but she's wearing Callie's armor, and there's only one way that happens when you're dealing with an operator like Fleur Russo. So, Mantis raises her hands, real slow. DJ has recovered enough from the punch to his throat to be up on all fours, one hand moving in slow motion toward the gun at his hip. "Ah-ah, big boy," Donnelly says, swinging the rifle toward him, taking a couple of steps to the left so she can keep both him and Mantis in view. Resolutely keeping her gaze away from her father's workstation, away from Jackson's, she nods to Mantis. "You, stand up slowly and come over here to join the Neanderthal. I don't want to shoot you, but..." A pause. "Scratch that, I do want to shoot you. Feel free to give me a reason." Mantis rises to her feet, visibly grinding her teeth as she walks across to a still gasping DJ and hauls him to his feet. Looking for an opportunity, Donnelly refuses to give her. "Earpieces out," the girl says softly, and the goons comply, pulling away their headsets, their only means of contacting Falk, and dropping them to the ground. "Thank you," Donnelly sounds almost polite for a moment, conversational. It's clear from their faces that neither DJ nor Mantis considers her friendly tone to be a good thing. Then again, they work for Falk, so they'd know. "Now," says Hannah, "let's get you settled so I can get comfortable. This armor is really sticky. She just bled all over it." 3.5 minutes later, both DJ and Mantis are restrained, backs against the large pillars in the middle of the room, arms stretched behind them, wrists joined with electrical cord that looks far too tight to be comfortable. Hannah Donnelly is drinking Mantis's can of Mount Rushmore as she stands at her father's workstation. The door to CNC locked securely once more. She guesses his password on her second try and reaches up to thumb her headset to life. "Okay, Chief. I'm here. Let's talk about this defense grid." A pause as a voice in her ear guides her through the menus. DJ and Mantis watch with twin glares, and if looks could kill, their revenge would be very, very sweet. Donnelly ignores them, navigating through another layer and throwing the defense radar up onto the big screen. Her eyes go wide. The Mount Rushmore can slips from her fingers. "Oh, shit," she whispers.
Countdown to Hypatia arrival at Heimdall Waypoint. 0 days, 1 hour, 32 minutes. Countdown to Kennedy Assault Fleet arrival at Jump Station Heimdall. 0 days, 0 hours, 0 minutes.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Footage is taken from external Heimdall cams. The station looks amazing from the outside. There's no sign of the trauma going on inside. No bullet holes or bodies or bloodstains on the walls. A circular city, forever spinning around a shimmering hole in the universe's side. The wormhole is beautiful, chums. There's no other way to describe it. It almost looks like a pool of water illuminated from within, though it sheds almost no light on the station around it,
And although it doesn't really have a surface, it looks like that not-surface is rippling a million beats per second, a soft light shining in its heart. It's vaguely blue. I'm told this has something to do with Doppler shift, don't ask me. And looks a trillion miles deep, which isn't even close to the truth of it. There's a sharp black scar burned on the station's skin, just near the wormhole's lip, the place Nick Malikoff and the Betty Boop crossed the horizon as the portal opened again. Other than that, the entire picture is perfectly serene. For the next 30 seconds, at least. You can hardly see them in the dark. They're moving quickly, like sharks. Phalanx formation. It's only the radiance from the station, the microflares from their thrusters as they adjust course, and maybe some ambient light from the distant Yggdrasil nebula that picked them out in all that dark. 24 Shinobi-class hunter-killers, speeding like black daggers out of the void, right at the heart of that shimmering blue pool. Assault Fleet Kennedy. You save a lot of space on a vessel when you don't have to man it with a live crew. Each Shinobi is 400 meters long, sleek and sharp. It's basically an engine, an A7X artificial intelligence system with pre-programmed action/reaction parameters and a fuel tank. All that space that would be taken up by crew, living quarters, mess halls, rec spaces and storage? Well, you mostly fill it with weapons and ammo, chum. Which means these things are bristling with more missile turrets than any sensibly designed ship their size has a right to be packing. But you know the scariest thing about them? No lights. See, on a ship with a living crew, that crew needs to see what the hell they're doing. You look at Heimdall's skin. It's picked out by hundreds of tiny pinpricks of light. The atrium, filled with all those imprisoned partygoers. The entertainment centre, with its sparkling casino levels and bars, now scattered with small knots of frightened residents and guests, wondering why their voice of the resistance has gone silent. A few lights in the now empty habitat sector, left on by people who expected to stagger home after Terror Day too drunk to find a switch. But there's nothing alive inside the drone ships. Their AIs don't need light to see, so the hunter killers are completely black. Just like the space around them. Probably a metaphor in there somewhere. They speed in from the void, hundreds of clicks per second, not slowing for a beat. Their sensors confirm the reports from Mantis. The Heimdall wormhole is online. The Carenza waypoint is returning inquiry pings. The way is clear. Forward. To gut the Hypatia and X out the witnesses inside it. Then on to the planet Carenza, to purge whatever remains of the colonists and BT ground troops left behind after former Director Taylor's disastrous invasion. To wipe the slate clean, then self-destruct in a brief flare of fuel and fire off the shoulder of a now-dead planet. Not for them to question why. They're not programmed to, see?
Audit Team FX, this is Kennedy Assault. Respond. Over.
Kennedy, this is Audit Team Cerberus. We read you, over.
Request clearance to traverse hyperspatial umbilicus, over.
Roger that, Kennedy. Good hunting.
Acknowledged, Audit Team. Kennedy Assault, out.
The assault fleet draws closer to the spinning city. Deathly silent, totally lifeless. Thin strands of data spilling back and forth between the ships. Electronic fingertips touching briefly in the moments before the plunge.
Systems, nominal. Approach vector, clear. Umbilicus access, confirmed. Negative impediment, proceed. Yes.
And without a sound, they dive into that rippling blue.
Hannah D.
Hypatia, run. Run! Kennedy's coming through. Prepare to defend if you can't run. Hypatia, do you read?
Four. A cup of coffee. 4-1. A cup of coffee. just a simple boy.
Radio Transmission Baytech Audit Team, Secure Channel 642. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Bianca Mercury Silva, Corporal, Engineer. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 18:48 hours.
What the hell was that? Mercury, this is Cerberus. Respond. Bianca!
I hear you. Jesus, Travis. Take a fucking Z.
What the fucking hell was that?
I don't know. Surge. Hyperspatial. Systems are redlining everywhere.
Mercury, what the hell is happening? What's going on with the internal insulation? It looks like there's live current running through the structure down here.
Control network is trashed. Power surge off scale. Buffers are totally fried. Secondaries axed. Sensors dead. I've got no diagnostics, no internals, and four of my engineers just got cooked.
Cooked?
Their terminals overloaded. Christ, it smells like fried fucking bacon in here.
Did Kennedy make it through? Mercury, this is Cerberus. Confirm Assault Fleet Kennedy successfully traversed the umbilicus to Carenza Sector. Over.
I don't know.
Bianca, talk to me.
Travis, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Radio Transmission Baytech Audit Team, Secure Channel 4824. Participants. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Isaac Grant, chief engineer. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 18:48 hours.
Oh, God, no.
I can't get a read on the Hypatia.
No.
Chief, help me. I'm trying to get a...
No, they can't. Helena, Katie, please.
What's happening? The whole station's shaking.
Helena!
Chief, please! Something's happening with the wormhole!
It wasn't ready.
What?
Do you know how few people know how to do one of these things properly? How long it takes? How many arguments I had with your father about the man-hours we were spending on calcs?
Systems are blinking out all over the board. What do I do?
I can't. There's nothing. My family.
Chief, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I tried. I can't get a read on anything on the other side. Maybe...
Maybe what? Maybe the drone fleet we just watched head through didn't kill them all within seconds?
There are still hundreds of people here. I don't have anyone left either. But they do, the people trapped here. They have families out there.
I've lost a lot of blood, Hannah. I don't know how much longer I'll last. Or the station, for that matter. Did you feel that?
Chief, we have to try.
Try what? We're out of options.
The civilian ships, freighters, miners, in the docks. We can use them. We have to get our people out of here. We can't stop, Chief. I want to. I just want to lie down and wait for it to be done, but we can't.
Okay. All right. I'll narrow down the ships nearest our people.
Just a little longer, Chief. Then we can rest.
Your father, Hannah.
What about him?
God. He'd be... so proud of you.
I hope so. Let's get to work.
Briefing note. radio conversation between Hypatia's bridge and a cyclone in her hangar bay.